Hi everyone, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here. Just saying a huge thank you to all of you that have supported my charity appeal so far. For those that haven't heard about it, this September I'm going to be swimming 15 kilometres between five islands in Cornwall. I'll be swimming the Isles of Scilly, that's Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. I'm doing it because I want to, but also to raise money for CALM, the campaign against living miserably. It's a well-known statistic that 125 people in the UK die by suicide every week, and CALM run a free and confidential helpline for people to speak through their problems and ultimately to help prevent suicides. I'm looking to raise enough money to train two new phone workers to man those lines, and I'll be doing it by swimming the Isles of Scilly in Cornwall. If you're looking to support me, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate at justgiving.com. Just go there and search for Adam Swim Scilly. That's Adam Swim Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. All donations greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping me to support CALM. And now, on with Monkey Tennis.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
North Norfolk Digital.
Monkey tennis?
Yabba dabba doo.
Oh, sorry, I did Jimmy Savile. Monkey tennis?
This is Midmore Matt.
Let's do slap hands.
Idiotic broth.
Monkey tennis?
Please though.
Pop. Monkey tennis?
You need to press transfer.
I like it. It's a clean kill. Monkey tennis?
We will do that, definitely, yeah.
Okay, does Mummy know you do this?
The time is 10:30.
What a dilbert. Monkey tennis?
And I know it won't smash, Lynn, just wrap it in bubble wrap.
So, hello, Bristol, for the very first time. you're much better than last week's audience.
No.
We're here with episode 2 of Mid-Morning Matters, live at the Wardrobe Theatre in Bristol. And I'm Adam Brooks, and I'm joined by Tom Dark.
Have some beef swans.
Nick Older.
I genuinely haven't got my quote to hand.
And Tom Stab.
Did you tell them about the time I wanked off those tramps?
More of that to come. This episode, it opens with what's quite a nice trait of these episodes. You're dropped into the middle of a scene already unfolding, and you then have to wait for the sort of, in case you just joined us, we're discussing giveaway, as you would with a real webcam, I suppose.
Yes,
this is another excellent start, I think, to an episode.
There's a spin-off debate on ballistics in the North Norfolk chat room. Alan says that he's usually there from 3 p.m. until the wee small hours. Well,
so I think, but before he's explaining that, he's taking calls about the JFK conspiracy.
Yes.
So, as always happens with Alan's callers, they're all nutters. one of them thinks that JFK was killed by the Scottish Secret Service.
Logical.
And then the other caller suggested that JFK was killed by a gang of Jews.
Yeah, I think essentially when LBC aren't taking your calls, you go
they're
to...
They're on NND, yep. And then he does mention there will be a spin-off debate on ballistics and field weaponry in the chat room. That is
so correct. I have a question to the group. Were anyone here ever members of internet chat rooms / message boards at all? There's a sheep in here.
We'll start with the host, madam.
We'll do it with us first, shall we? And then we can sing.
Probably us first. Tom and I, we're in the same chat room. Not like that.
it's not what you think.
No. It was actually owned by producer Jez, who was up there in what we like to call Jed's sex booth.
Say hi, Jez.
There he is.
Yeah, that was audiojunkies.net, or probably couldn't afford .com.
That's so, right. Yep. We could describe it in more detail, but Jez has evaded capture so far. So
it was a music-based chat room, basically.
Yep. Let's leave it at that.
Nick?
I was a member of Punktastic. Anyone? No. And World of Goo, which was a Goo Goo Dolls message fan board when I went through a period of being genuinely obsessed with that band.
Presumably for people who don't want the world to see them.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah, very good.
In fact, thinking about it, I think I was actually on an Ash fan message board first, and that is how I first met Jed all those years ago.
Aww.
Soon to be
a nice story, isn't it?
Soon to be brought to the big screen in Jed and Tom Origins. So they describe the show as global radio with an Anglian swagger. Now, I googled Anglian swagger, as I was sure that's not a thing, only to find an eBay listing for an Anglian swagger stick, a piece of military gear bound in fine black leather over a flexible shaft with a silver chromed head. Yours for £40.
No,
there's,
thanks.
There's a terrible jingle at this point implying that Russia is mainly known for shooting people, right?
Well, I think we need to talk about Alan going for a wee first, which I think you might see on the next slide, where there is very evident splashback on his return.
I was going to say, is that piss?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is piss, isn't it?
I timed it. So he says, Simon, he just gets up, goes off. He's off camera for 12 seconds and he's come back. So I think that's why there is a generous amount of splashback on the trousers there. But yeah, then you have the Norfolk Digital available worldwide. That jingle comes after this. So yeah, Adam, as I think you were saying, so you basically, it's got some really ridiculous stereotypes in. So the jingle says, Norwich to Nigeria, and you can hear Africans singing. Swatham to Scotland, you can hear the sound of bagpipes. And then Cromer to the Kremlin. And what you actually hear is a man in Russian saying pig and then firing a gun.
Terrible.
Make of that what you will.
Because Alan's not back in time, because obviously he's busy wetting himself, Simon's left to pick up the link, which he fluffs. It reminds me a bit of, if anyone's seen Wayne's World, where Garth is left to do the show on his own. I thought, much like that. Garth needs his Wayne, Simon needs his Alan. Given what happened in episode one with his fake travel advisory causing problems because people thought it was real, you have to wonder why he's now seemingly announced that Cromer has fallen to the Russians. All roads to Cromer
are
closed.
Learned nothing.
This is not a drill.
I think what you're assuming there is that Alan learns from his mistakes, which, as we know over the years, he absolutely does not.
That's very true.
That's a very good point. But he doesn't get pulled up on this one either. No. Nobody comes in the studio. Have you got him back announcing Coldplay next?
What, his wistful moment about Parkers?
Yes. <Yeah. laughs>
So he really just turns to... So they're playing basically Coldplay the Scientist, or like a close approximation of. So Alan announced that kids playing in the snow without Parkers, it's Coldplay. And it says to Simon, I miss Parkers. Simon says, you should buy one then. And he says, I will. And he starts getting quite choked up and quite emotional. They've been swept away by the emotional gravitas of Chris Martin singing there. Very tender moment.
When they come back, it's time for Mid-Thursday Morning Matter Book Club, which is a terrible name.
The most uncatchy name for a radio segment ever.
Because Saul Harris can't be with them, Rosie Witter, the former wine expert from Series 1, is back.
Hey.
Yep.
He then refers to webcam voyeurs, which he only does when he's got a female guest.
Yeah,
A bit gross.
Oh, very good point, yeah.
Still only sees webcams in terms of sex, even though he's on it, and
And so to be clear, they're kind of navigating through, obviously they've got Rosie in the studio, they've got Edith on the phone and Andrew on the email. Completely and unnecessarily complicated. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's hilarious though, isn't it? The fact they have to wait for about 2 seconds just to get the ping when he's replied to an email.
But that's the club. Let's get to the nub.
It's the very first multi-platform radio-based book club broadcast in the whole of East Anglia.
And there you have it. That's why they have Andrew on email despite this 5-second delay, because Alan is a massive fan of being the person behind a world first.
He loves a radio first, a broadcast first, doesn't he? Yeah.
So even if it is bollocks.
I tried to find out if it was the very first multi-platform book club broadcast. The BBC did do a project called Get Reading, a venture to encourage reading in 2015, described in the PR as multi-platform. So even if this book club had been good, it still wouldn't have been first.
But maybe in East Anglia, perhaps.
Oh, quite possibly, yeah.
In North Norfolk.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the book that they're reading?
Someone
has read, yeah.
Well, the book that they should have been reading then, which is Wild Swans by...
Yung Chang.
Yeah.
Well, I did notice, I'll just use the pointer stick, I can't quite reach, but you can see there is a copy of Wild Geese is already
there. Alan realises it's too late. Yep. He's read Wild Geese.
Yep.
bit of a classic sitcom trope, that, of a naming misunderstanding, but the webcam element and the way you find out from the book there, it adds a new level.
Well, I love the way that this is placed there before they're even talking about Wild Swans / the Wild Geese confusion. So it's that kind of thing. It's a rewarding second watch when you realise that book's already there before you get to it. Yeah.
Into quite a lengthy section about Amazon, aren't we? Yes.
Well, do we need to talk about one of the biggest killers of our time, first of all?
Go ahead.
Where Psychic Simon thinks Harold Shipman and Alan means obesity. Just a bit of confusion in the studio there. I just made a note that the gold in the script is coming so fast at this point, it's actually hard to keep track. There are so many kind of subtle one-liners that are all just stacking up on top of each other. Mm. So the more you watch it, the better it gets, I think.
Has anyone read Wild Swans by Yung Chang?
No.
Anyone in the room? Popular book?
Well, apparently it sold over 20 million copies.
Yeah,
in Bristol, it hasn't.
You joke. It's got a 79% five-star rating, i.e. 79% of the people that reviewed it on Amazon, which is the site that I checked, have given it a five-star review. But there's not much fun in a five-star review, so I thought, why don't we have a look at the one-star reviews on Amazon? Just a couple of highlights from the one-star reviews. First person, I found it difficult to read. Second person, like wading through custard. The third person, not read yet, saving it for holiday.
Why would you review it before you've read it? That's mental. Yep.
Another person saying, let me start off by saying how much I absolutely love swans. Another person saying, not a single mention of a swan, not one. I have no idea what this book is about. And then finally, I wouldn't recommend this book unless you're interested in Japan, but do they even have swans there? Thanks, Amazon. Wow.
Speaking of Amazon, Alan is staunchly defensive of Amazon, quickly draws a parallel between companies paying their fair taxes and China, where, and I quote, you can only have one baby, and if it's a girl, tough luck.
That's the thing, sorry, the review about Japan, the book's about China as well, that's even better.
No, I'm reading these verbatim.
I know, I'm just enjoying it more.
Oh my goodness. Rosie says, you know, that brings us nicely onto Wild Swans, to which Alan says, does it? Oh, yeah. Later again on Amazon employees, they're students, you can't mistreat students.
He's quite keen to defend the Amazon business model as well. Cheap books, happy shareholders, the boss is stinking rich, hats off.
There's something happens here that is very quick but happens over and over, and it's basically hopefully everyone's spotted this throughout the series, Alan's reaction to people trying to touch his stomach or body. A safe or dangerous example, here we go.
Off. Is it time to talk about Black Eyed Peas? Or am I jumping ahead too much?
Yes, I think we can.
This is one of my favourite forward throws to a song in the series. He says, Mummy P and Baby P have finally pushed Daddy P too far. It's the Black Eyed Peas.
We learn it's funny, but it's also bad. We learn in the next link that yes, again, a care home has taken him saying the Russians are taking over Cromer literally, as predicted. There's a weird bit where Alan refers to Nazis as Nazis here. I thought that was a bit silly. Surely you don't get to Alan's position without knowing how to pronounce that.
But I think that's just a bit of a running gag with Alan. Whatever reason, he will just mispronounce words that nobody in their right mind should mispronounce.
Like strawberry Nesquilk and Dracula. Alan is straight onto the wine that Rosie's brought. No one else is drinking. You can tell from the level in the bottle, he's already three glasses down.
Yeah, he's quite hammered as well, and very much losing track of the numbers of generation of Chinamen that are in the Wild Swans book. he's getting very bogged
down. Well, because he asked Rosie, like, the moment she appeared, if you've got any wine on you. He couldn't wait to get into it, could he?
Beverly, a regular, presumably a regular caller, has sent in a beef sponge, which he describes as chunks of beef suspended.
I have an issue with this.
What's your issue?
It's not a sponge, is it?
Well, it's chunks of beef suspended in a matrix of pastry.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a pie, isn't it?
That is a pie. It's a beef pie. Yeah. But he says it looks...
Yeah, but I think her sending in a beef pie wouldn't be funny.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
He said it looks almost as good as last week's chicken drizzle cake, to which I thought to myself, who would make a chicken drizzle cake? And then I thought to myself, who would make a chicken drizzle cake and bring it to a podcast?
So no. What?
Oh, I've now realised. Adam said he had something prepared for us tonight that we didn't know about.
We genuinely haven't
and
seen
I've
this
realised
before.
I realised what this is, and I'm not happy about
You're
it.
You're going to want some kitchen roll because it is oily.
To be clear, is that a Victoria sponge?
How have you made this
with chicken?
What you do is
like translucent ghee underneath.
it's going to be like
that's the chicken part.
Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to explain, like, if you haven't guessed, Adam has made a chicken drizzle cake. And
what we're going to do is we're going to offer it to the audience.
Yeah, here you go.
Who'd like some?
Yeah,
Yay, there we go. This gentleman over here.
I feel like Adam's expecting us to eat this, isn't he? What?
Oh, my God. It smells like a roast dinner.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, it smells half roast dinner, half cake.
Yeah, dead air is a crime, so someone...
Everyone on three, and then we can compare notes.
Nick's going in. Yeah, he's taking a bite. Oh, my God, that's a massive bite.
Look at the yellow
come
stain
on, Tom.
This is leaving.
Tom, I went to a lot of effort.
You went... Fuck's sake. All right.
Down the hatch.
Actually, it's not that bad.
General consensus is I'm an excellent cook.
Should we hand it round?
Do you want to hand that round?
Alright, here we go. Take that.
I mean, I'm concerned about the kind of the yellow stain that is left on the...
This is broadcasting Alan would be proud of.
If anybody wants...
Anyone else?
Trying to talk through a mouthful of chicken.
There we go, we've got another volunteer.
Yeah, this is broadcasting at its finest.
Do be careful with it. It's literally leaving a toxic...
Does anybody else want a piece? There's a piece here. Anyone? Adam, I'm sure your wife might want some as a...
I'll save it for later.
Okay. Right, we'll leave that there.
I hate you, Adam.
Yep.
Wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's not that bad.
I'm actually all right.
No, especially considering how much chicken fat I poured into it. It's pretty good.
So can you talk us through the cooking process for this?
Wait a minute, you fed us a roast chicken earlier today. Is this where the oil came from?
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, I'll talk you through the recipe quickly, but I don't want to give away all my secrets because my cookbook sales will suffer. You basically just make a sponge and then you cook a chicken and then you take half the chicken juices and you pour them over the sponge. Chicken drizzle cake, simple as.
There you go. So now you can all make that at home.
Yep. I feel violated.
There's also beef sponge recipes online. There's an official one where he describes the end product as not too dreadful.
Yeah. I mean, that was not as bad as I was thinking it was going to be.
It wasn't great.
It's just confusing.
Yeah. It wasn't great.
Right, where were we? I've totally lost track now.
Are we on... the next... yep.
It's repeating on Tom's stab over there.
We do get a chink of insight as to the books that really kind of tickle and take the interest of the listeners of North Norfolk Digital. So in at number one, The Da Vinci Code. Mm-hmm. Wild Swans in at number two, and number three is Angels and Demons. So Dan Brown getting two books there in the top three.
Out of the three that they've covered. So this is the first one that's not a Dan Brown book, and that's why Alan's not read it.
Yeah. And I just love that also, if you look at Rosie throughout this scene, she's looking kind of like just... horrified about the fact that they're just scoring a book out of five, and I love that Alan has nothing to say about it, so all you get from him is saying that's what I got from it and spot on just based on other people's comments. He's got nothing himself.
He emails in under a fake name to try and drive the conversation round to The Wild Geese, the book he has read, but it turns out that he hasn't read that properly either. Also, Alan Winewatch, he's now two-thirds of the way through the bottle.
Yeah.
He's getting through it quickly, isn't he?
And regaling the tale that when he ploughed into a swan, which is the only time he's ever heard a swan quack.
And then is it time for Thatcher Pop four-piece Duran Duran?
I believe so.
There's something to quickly look at, which is Alan says that he prefers books to TV, of course. Yep. He's trying to make out he prefers books to TV, so I think, of course, we know that's a lie. But he says when he reads, he likes to listen to... Nick, did you get anything on this?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah. Jean-Michel Jarre.
Oh, this again.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jean-Michel Jarre.
Yeah, or Jean-Michel Jarre, if you're Nick, if you're a regular listener to the podcast.
It's easy when you know it. I didn't know it.
But
I
you know
be
it
punished
now. You know
for it. Phonetically reading it.
Yeah, you should.
It's just a bit of fun, though, isn't it? So, obviously, Oxygen Part 4 is the Tony Lemesma theme from Naomi Knowing You. My other note was Nick can't pronounce it. he sold an estimated 80 million albums and singles, and I thought, well, it was quite a good link. He was the first Western musician to be allowed to perform in China. So it all comes full circle.
Is Alan now so pissed that he's eating the beef sponge?
Absolutely correct.
He's on to Beverly's beef sponge. At this point, Rosie also says, I gave up on the Diary of Anne Frank on my first attempt. I couldn't get through it. And Simon replies,
Neither could she.
Yeah. I think a less sozzled Alan would have stopped Simon at this point. Yeah. But he does
sometimes police his jokes, doesn't he? Yeah. If he thinks he's going to go to.
And Rosie's getting angry, to which Alan says, "You're angry. Have some beef swans."
So as you say, this is after Alan's admitted ploughing into a swan. He's also openly belching. He's clearly pissed. He admits he hasn't read the book, and then also the bottle of wine is empty by this point as well. Yeah.
That's the end of this section of the episode, is it not?
It is indeed, I think.
Which means we're on to a very emotionally heavy section Mid-Morning Matters with the return of a beloved character from the past.
Another strong opener to this bit. The real reason people have a go at Bernie Eccleston is because he has the first name of a dinner lady and he goes out with giant women.
then going on to say that he's so small. Watch out for him next time there's a wet Grand Prix. His wellies have got Spider-Man on. Love it.
Yeah, so... So, for the full context, this part of the episode is the Dave Clifton part, and you've got Alan defending Bernie Eccleston is how it opens. So, I think it's worth going through some Eccleston facts quite quickly.
Sure.
So, he's a former chief exec of Formula One. He was born in a hamlet 3 miles south of Bungay, so I thought hello to Roy from Bungay.
Nice. Norfolk connection.
He owned QPR for 4 years. He's allegedly a fan of fascists, including Hitler. Allegedly. he was tried on bribery charges in 2014. He avoided the payment of $1.2 billion through a legal tax avoidance scheme. In 2011, he was ranked as the fourth richest person in the UK.
Wow.
With an estimated fortune of $4.2 billion. He's been married 3 times, including to a former Yugoslavian model.
A giant woman.
Yep. His most recent marriage saw him have a wife who is 47 years his junior, and he is 5 foot tall. So, question to the group, is Bernie Eccleston Alan's ideal role model?
Yeah.
Let me present the argument to you. He's got right-wing leanings. He's got a younger wife. He's rich. He's successful in the world of sport. He's avoided paying tax. Everything about it is good for Alan, apart from the height, basically.
I'm liking this, Tom. I'm liking this a lot.
Thanks very much.
Also, do you think there are many people who are fans of fascists, not including Hitler? They're like, no, mate, too mainstream.
That really is too far.
Too mainstream.
Well, I just didn't want to go further down the fascist rabbit hole, so I stopped reading what else I had. That
Hitler, the Coldplay of fascism.
Well, that's a pull quote from the evening, isn't it?
Alan's got himself in knots over so many things he's had to invent a shut up and move on ident that he plays out when he's getting confused or overrun by callers that know more than he does.
Yeah, so basically the caller is questioning Eccleston's tax arrangement, so Alan plays a jingle that says, shut up and move on, and my note was... how many times does Alan have to deploy that? And I thought most days, quite frankly. Definitely. He's in a hole and that's all he can do to get out of it.
He starts ranking charities against one another at this point, putting the National Trust above Help the Aged. He clearly doesn't see himself as approaching old age, but then he describes Help for Heroes as the top one. question to the group, National Trust, Help for Heroes, Help the Aged, which made more?
Number one, National Trust. Number two, Help the Aged. Number three, Help for Heroes.
No, I think Heroes is top. Heroes top.
What's the time period? What are the parameters here?
I'm looking mainly at 2016-2017 reports here.
I reckon Aged bottom, Trust middle, and Heroes top.
Heroes top.
Well, Help for Heroes, we've only got 1 year's report. The others, we've got two, so we have to sort of factor that in.
You're already skewing the figures.
So it's very much a like for like then.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a science man. Help for Heroes made $38 million in 2017. National Trust across 2016-2017 made $73
million. Wow.
Help the Aged does not exist. It's Age UK, people. Get with the times.
Trick question.
But it received $73.1 million in 2016-7. So the disappointing answer
is it exists in 2016.
They're all quite similar.
But it did exist in 2016 at the time of the show, right?
Yes, it did, yeah. I'm not saying they've got it wrong.
No, I know that.
They're not that similar if one got 38 and one got 73.
38 in 1 year. The others were over 2 years.
Okay.
I'll show you my workings afterwards.
Okay. It's a very confusing system.
So in the studio, they're aiming to raise just £3,000 for Addiction Action.
Addiction can cover a multitude of things: booze, drugs, and having it off.
No mention of chocolate as well. Crucially.
I've got that as well. Yeah, no mention of chocolate.
I think we should just dwell on charity shops quickly, though, because obviously Alan donated a one-armed jacket to a charity shop. My question to the group: what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen, bought in a charity shop, or donated to a charity shop?
I've given so much. I don't like
Giga Doll CDs.
I've just moved out of a lot of houses and given quite a lot of stuff to charity.
Not
in a noble way, just I've given lots to charity.
I once bought a suit jacket from a charity shop which had a bundle of business cards in one pocket and about 8 unidentifiable pills in the other.
Wow.
I looked the guy up and he died. I mean, presumably from lack of medication. True story.
Well,
always check the pockets.
Yep.
Alan is going to raise £3,000 and will make up the difference if the listeners don't get to that lofty target, which at this point he's pretty convinced they'll get to.
It's a lot, isn't it? 3,000. I think we can see where this is going.
For regional radio, yes.
Sidekick Simon is surprised that Alan's into charity, but Alan says he's got into it recently because it's a great brand builder.
Yeah, and he's into it for the Goodwill splashback as well.
Yeah, a term explained to him by Richard Curtis, he says.
Yeah, so Alan's expecting good karma from doing charity work, but then if you see the way he explains how Richard Curtis explained it to him, he seems to imply Richard Curtis skimming money off the top, because he goes, oh, this is for you, this is for me.
Yeah.
Should we do an outfit watch for this episode?
Oh, yeah.
Really,
what
as well?
We got?
So, I mean, obviously you can see it behind us, but for the benefit of those listening on the pod. So Alan's got a kind of woolen and suede zip-up top over a mustard shirt. So it's quite a classic Alan combination there. You've got like aqua and mustard. It's awful. And I'd say Simon's in one of his least wacky outfits, but he does have the classic shirt over a T-shirt. But I don't think he's got a green shirt, a grey T-shirt with some text on it. It's, for Simon, it's quite normal,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. All right.
That's all fine.
Do you notice anything unusual about the charity appeal pre-record that they put out? There's 3 stories on there of people...
Yes.
There's Malky, who flogs Lego for half a piece.
I don't know what that means. Worth mentioning, Alan's eating bananas and cream while this story goes on.
Yeah, so Simon is visibly disgusted by this, and I think if Jed flicks onto the next slide, you'll see his... Again, he's got the half grimace, half laugh going on whilst he's eating a bowl of bananas and cream.
There are 2 more stories.
There's Jeannie's story, who lives rough on the streets. Someone that used
a bum with booze in her veins.
That's a teacher that is a bum with booze in her body. Tristram's story, who was taking coke when he first became a hedge fund Budge manager. Hender. Easy for me to say. He missed out on his bonus last year, so his dreams of a bigger house are in tatters. But they all come together to say thank you, Alan, for Alan's hands across Norfolk.
So my question was, which one do you think Alan cares about most?
Oh, Tristram.
Oh, Tristram.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Tristram.
Yeah. Of course. He's only bothered about the hedge fund manager, isn't he? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Tristram's voice is supplied by Steve Coogan as well. It sounds very much like Steve.
Yeah, I think that happens on a few kind of jingles and bits of audio they use, but I don't know whether it's supposed to be Alan impersonating someone or whether it is just Coogan doing other characters. I'm not quite sure. But they total up... By this point, they've raised £610, which is equivalent to 150 pints, 8 grams of coke. They're not sure about heroin, but they've asked a Scottish cleaner.
Also, it's worth mentioning Psychic Simon's Alan Partridge mug, which we have a copy of on stage with us here today. One interesting thing about this is that the quote above Alan's signature, it says, North Norfolk's best music mix. Now, we know Alan is frequently getting this bit wrong and saying Norfolk instead of North Norfolk, but how did it make it onto a mug? I like to think that Alan was dictating the phrase for this mug over the phone and fucked it up there as well.
Do we have the altered voice call as well?
Oh, yes, an addict who wishes to remain anonymous.
Do we? I do like, just before this bit, there is a moment where Alan admits himself that he stepped on a hornet's nest when he suggested that Norwich was ready for a black town crier. the fact that...
You know what, that bit totally passed me by. Yeah, I missed that. Yeah. That's great. So with the anonymous voice caller, so they've lost their job selling wool at the market. And I thought, this is basically Domingo in Little Oakley all over again.
Yes.
How many people are selling wool in Norwich Market? And also the fact that they're a woman, not a man. It's just the way the voice has been altered. I thought that's a bit like the kind of when they do the pixelated face in Cesar. You can kind of see what the payoff to the guy is going to be. Yeah.
Alan spots... is this Alan spotting an opportunity for humour? I mean, I assume it is when he asks her to say, soon your planet will be mine, which obviously she responds with. But they kind of abruptly end the call. But I did think that's a nice moment where Alan's using humour, albeit in rather tragic circumstances.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. So even the points where he's trying to be a bit joking, a bit fun, he's misjudged the time. Well, so he still balls it up.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to help her. Like, he hasn't got anything he can do. He can't offer any advice. So he just thinks, maybe just say, soon your planet will be mine. Hang up the phone. Move on. Off you go.
Derek Bosworth's in the studio talking accordions, although...
Adam, I'm going to have to stop you before we get to Derek Bosworth.
Oh, you want to talk about the self-defence?
Yes. There's a very short cutaway scene, so we get these really short ones in each episode as well. So Alan's giving self-defence tips to a member of staff. he says that he saw another member of staff play fighting with a member of staff called Jez, and Alan didn't think the moves were up to scratch, which I just quite enjoyed.
Derek Bosworth, I say he's talking accordions. He is sat at the back of the studio being routinely ignored for about 95% of this episode. Alan, I also noticed he's reduced to using canned laughter for some of the gags he does at this point.
Not notice that.
Yeah, he started edging that in along with the shut up and move on ident. The charity pledges to me seem to be resembling more people trying to sell secondhand cars
and giving
about 2% of the proceeds to charity.
Do you want to break down a couple of examples of that? So Jed from Ipswich, another Jed, wants £500 for his Ford Mondeo and he'll give £50 to charity.
Yep.
And then you have another caller that if they get £10,000, they'll give £60 for the appeal. And this reminded me of when Alan is trying to fundraise for Comic Relief in the Mid-Morning Matters Comic Relief segment. The fact is just falling apart and the listeners are taking the piss about how much money they're actually going to pledge.
Is this the part where he's starting to get a bit nervous as well? Because they previously raised £4,000.
He thinks he's going to have to shell out big time.
Yeah, because it's only gone up 100 quid, isn't it? Next time he goes back, it's up to 710.
Especially worried because he promised to take Angela to Centre Parks and buy her a bigger TV. but then through the window, he spots his saviour. It's Dave Clifton.
Yeah. Oh, well, welcome return.
You also have the quick moment where Alan goes off on one about donkeys before Dave comes in the studio. People like donkeys. Why? We've got cars. They don't work. Put them down.
We're building up to probably my favourite line of the series, I think. Dave Clifton's revelation.
It's
pretty strong.
Alan, in very kind of hushed tones, talks to Psychic Simon about Dave Clifton's fall from grace. Obviously, we've not seen Dave since Alpha Papa.
Yeah.
But we already know that he's become something of a tragic character. The fact that him and Alan being on a level in I'm Alan Partridge has sort of fallen by the wayside. Alan is very much the victor at this point, I think. He mentions Psychic Simon that at Dave's lowest point he was pleasuring a vagrant at the docks during his darkest times. Dave comes in, it's very uncomfortable. They allude to his checkered past and Dave says, oh, did he tell him about the time I wanked off those tramps?
But even better than that, he says, that was plural, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's the killer to that bit.
I think the line, like some kind of diabolical soup kitchen, is the bit that really got me.
it cuts immediately to Alan interviewing Dave, desperate for juice to bring some money into his appeal.
I'm going
to
say how happy I was to see Alan and Dave Clifton back in the studio together. You know this is going to be comedy gold, don't you? It's fantastic.
There you go. And I believe that the impetus for Mid-Morning Matters in the first place was how much viewers loved the sort of interplay between Alan broadcasting in I'm Alan Partridge, and so that was this series in the tent.
Yeah, because I think you always get those bits when he's either bantering with Clifton or back announcing songs. I think as part, like, real Partridge fans always wanted to see more of that. Because you could have almost gone from I'm Alan Partridge Series 1 straight to Mid-Morning Matters Series 1, and you wouldn't really be missing, like, it would still make sense, wouldn't it? It would still be really a good continuation of the narrative to it.
So during this interview, Dave Clifton, a couple of times, mentions that he had the number one show in Norfolk.
Depends on the metric.
Depends on the metric. Would a younger Alan have taken more of an issue with this? Would he have gone in a bit more on Dave Clifton rather than just kind of dismiss it a little bit?
Well, you do get kind of a few facial reactions to him saying that. And again, you've got the metric point, but you're right. I think a different Alan would have probably kicked off about that. But, you know,
I think a different Alan would have probably pulled out a sheet of listening figures and like radar information or something like that. Yeah.
He also keen to avoid talking about the tramps anymore, but he says, Dave, what would you say was the lowest of the low? And to be honest, I'd say it's probably the shirt he's wearing now, wouldn't you?
Well, that was, I did say, for me, it's a bit like the 60s had vomited on him in a camouflage pattern. It's that kind of colour scheme, isn't it? Yeah.
I'd love to get a clearer picture of Dave. I feel like there's more we could get from Dave. Does he live in a caravan? Does he DJ kids' parties on the weekends?
Oh, I reckon.
Yeah. Was he ever a rising star of commercial radio? I mean, he seems to think so. He says he had a semi-detached home in a Vauxhall Tigra. So,
but he's still doing, in the context of this series, he's still doing Drive Time on North Norfolk Digital, isn't he? So things can't be that bad, I guess. It sounds like he's cleaned up his act.
But some of the stories he's got from days gone by are genuinely tragic. Namely, the time that he broke into a garden to have a fight with a snowman. I think he's one of,
remember,
one
yeah,
of
that's right. That was the worst. According to him, that was the worst thing he'd done.
He had so much premium lager charging through his veins that he thought it was someone from the council.
Question to the group: do we think there's a great lost concept here, a Partridge Special or a series that revolves around their rivalry?
Imagine 100%.
A different path Dave might have ended up on, or perhaps I thought. Imagine a scenario where they're forced to present a show together. Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that Alpha Papa would have been better if Clifton was the nemesis.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Instead of Pat. But
yeah.
Is it time for the biggest revelation of this entire series, I think?
From Dave.
Oh,
Dave.
Hang on. Oh, well, I've got a couple of notes before we get to that point. I really enjoyed Dave saying... because basically, you know, Alan's getting annoyed because Dave isn't being sad enough on the radio. He's not raising funds. So Alan's like, you don't sound sad, be sad. And Dave says he was a glass heart always half full. And Psychic Simon says, that was the problem. Yep. Absolute genius. Yep. Such good writing there. Yeah. And the organ player is still behind him doing absolutely nothing as well. But I think... I've got
something about the exact wording of Dave's next story, where he's talking about swapping his son's Scale Extric for Coke on Christmas Day.
Yes, this comes before the revelation.
Right, okay, he swapped it for a packet of Daz. And then something I didn't notice until I rewatched this a second time. He says, I always like to say I got cleaned out. I always like to say. How often does he tell the story?
Well, I get the impression that the Clifton character is quite candid about the problems he's been through. He's got no scruples about walking in there saying, oh, do you tell him about the time I went off the tramp? So I think...
He's laughing about it by that point.
Yeah, this is like a daily chat for him.
Yeah. It was the same at the Shape Takeover party in Alpha Papa, wasn't it?
Yes,
he was talking about the horse and the prostitutes.
Yeah. And you also have the story about... turning up the sound of Bargain Hunt to drown out the noise of his own son playing. Yeah.
His son who wanted him to help him reach the apples, which becomes very poignant in a few minutes' time.
Okay, are we ready for the revelation then?
Go for it.
Dave Clifton is not Dave Clifton's real name.
That real name is...
Tom Barrington.
Popular name, Tom.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that. Alan just going, you change your name to Dave Clifton.
Do you think Dave's run in this episode is the best we've ever seen Dave Clifton? Is this the greatest Dave Clifton content?
I still think the rivalry when they were both on Radio Norwich together.
I much prefer it when they're like, it's constant one-upmanship and I'm Alan Partridge. Yeah.
I like
Sorry, splitting.
Alan warms to Dave slightly, saying, thank you, Dave. I used to think you were a right book, but I realise now that's only half the story. Not completely over it.
Yeah.
I hope you keep reaching those apples every day. During this, I had a note that says, Dave is sort of craning his neck like a weepy ET.
But, well, my thought on this, though, is Alan genuinely sad? Because he's tearing up, he's getting emotional. Or is this just a ploy to make sure that he hits the £3,000so that he doesn't have to pay for it?
I think it was face value, but I'm now thinking he might have a point.
I think he could see that, you know, the numbers totting up and thinking, if I can, you know, amp up the emotion, maybe we can get more donations in.
I don't think Alan's that good an actor. I think he probably...
Also a good point.
Yeah, I think he probably started off that way and then he gradually...
Well, because we know he was trying to ramp up the tragic angle to get the donations running in. But yeah, maybe he just the emotion has got the better of him.
Yeah.
And as they say, hugs not drugs, cuddles not ruddles.
and then Derek Bosworth... makes a bit of noise on the accordion, and Alan says, oh God, sorry, I completely forgotten about you.
They then cut to this bizarre dancing scene where they're all having this kind of jubilant dance around to Gary Newman,
Our
Friends
Electric. Did everybody clock what the song was?
I had to Google the lyrics.
Yeah. So, as Adam says, it's Gary Newman, Our Friends Electric. So Gary Newman's actually appeared in the Partridge universe a couple of times, the infamous airbase scene of Music for Chameleons in the Static Home. And also... The second track in the iPartridge book playlist is Tubeway Army, which was fronted by Gary Newman down in the park. Just also some bonus Newman facts, because we like to just look at things on Wikipedia to fill the content of the show. He's released 22 albums. The most recent album, Savage, was released in 2017, which charted at number 2 in the UK album chart, his highest chart position since 1980. So I can only assume his Partridge presence has really accelerated his career.
I've got a lovely Gary Newman fact.
Tell us more.
Did you know that Gary Newman is older than Gary Oldman?
Boom. True fact. Absolute
genuine.
Fact.
Look
Rob.
It up.
Yep.
So yeah, there's a jubilant dance. Everyone's happy. And then the scene afterwards, it turns out that, yeah, Alan's yep. almost smashed that £3,000 target thanks to Dave Clifton's tears being wrung out of his face.
Yep. They've raised £2,970. So Alan has to think about it for a second and goes, £30? I'll pay that.
Yeah, he's happy with that. Yes, you will, Alan, because you promised you would at the start of the episode.
Did you also note when they reveal the total that he has a little jingle underneath that just goes, ooh, money.
I didn't hear that.
And again, that's the great thing about this series. Yeah. There are so many bits of kind of like radio audio, like jingles yeah. and stuff that are just underneath people talking that you might not hear till the yeah. second or third time you watch it, yeah. Mm.
There's also a lot of familiar people who are acting as the callers in this episode. Rebecca Front, who's obviously been in Partridge for ages. Simon Green or Michael the Geordie, former friend of the show and guest on our show.
Former friend of the show.
What have you done to offend him?
Have you spoken to him recently?
Good point.
Oh, God.
And Dan Skinner, who I believe is the guy who plays Angelus Epithemo
yes.
on
yes,
Shooting Stars,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
They're all in it. He also, he's counting out the 30 quid that he's going to make up the difference.
Definitely
in
make
small
up.
Change.
Definitely make
but
up.
He's 30p short. Simon points out, you've got it there. It's, yes, but I need it for a Milky Way. And where's Alan getting a Milky Way for 30p in 2016?
Well, he gets it from Psychic Simon.
Yeah. Who is the CEO of News and Magazines in Norwich? Atif. He's getting it from there.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Atif Steel.
Yeah.
Any other revelations from this episode of Mid-Morning Matters?
Nothing for me.
Well, I think it's interesting that you do get a few hints. Is Alan still slightly chocolate obsessed? That thing about he's saving it for a Milky Way. He's got a plan.
There's
is
quite
that
a bit
like an addict getting his next fix? And I think there are other points in this series where it develops more.
He's always got chocolate in the glove box that he kind of gives to Simon, a Milky Way here. Chocolate's never far. Pardon?
Pepperoni.
Yep.
Not a chocolate.
Pepperoni's not a chocolate.
chocolate, yeah.
I mean, God knows what's in it, but it's probably not chocolate.
I mean, although that said, we have got chicken drizzle cakes. So I mean, anything could happen.
We're savoury and sweet meat. I'm already thinking of marketing slogans for this.
I mean, the only other thing I had that then you do get the over the end credits, they do actually play Our Friends Electric, the full version. So
nice.
That's a nice little tie-in.
Lovely stuff. IMDb stats
on
this?
Yeah, IMDb.
8.2 out of 10 as well, which I think
consistent.
Is fair.
Consistent.
Yeah, this is another really, really strong episode, I think.
Agreed.
Lovely stuff. Right, well, to bring this show to a thrilling climax for the people of Bristol, it's time for a game that is in no way based on BBC One's Would I Lie to You? Time for a round of a new regular feature, Would We Lie to You? Who's in charge of this week's quiz?
I'm in charge of it this week, which I'm slightly nervous about because we rehearse this multiple times. Yes, that's right. We do rehearse bits of this show.
I know that is hard to believe.
It's fair to say I kept getting it wrong, so please bear with me. I know the concept is simple, but genuinely, it is quite stressful to manage. So I've pulled out facts on Land Rover in reference to the radio play that was we talked about earlier. So without further ado, you're going to hear three pieces of information on Land Rover. Two of them are false, one of them are true, one of them is true. So I'll hand over to Adam to start.
The record for sleeping in a Land Rover is 18 months and is held by Jim Ramsley of Brighton.
Land Rover invented the first monster truck in 1950 with tractor tyres and souped-up axles.
Land Rovers were dropped from the sky during World War II with men inside them so that they could be driven behind enemy lines.
So that's, did someone sleep in them and hold a record? Were they some kind of super tank? Or were they dropped from the sky in World
tank.
War II?
Monster truck.
Monster truck.
Remember,
it's a derivative of super tank.
You wrote these as well and you're getting it wrong.
Super tank. So hopefully you know how it works. Just make a noise, whoop, holler, clap like mad if you think that it's the first one someone's sleeping in the Land Rover.
Yeah. Oh, very popular.
Very popular choice.
Second one, the super tank.
Or monster truck.
Monster truck, derivative of. Anyone?
No one's going for that one.
Or it was dropped from the sky in World War II.
I want it to be that one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Whoop them.
There we go.
Okay. And the answer is?
Well, they've gone for mine, which is the 18-month sleepathon, and I have to tell you, it's a lie.
What?
Well, what? Bristol, you got it correct last week,
shall
but
we prepare
haven't got
ours?
It right tonight.
Shall we prepare ours, Tom?
Yeah, three, yeah. two, one.
Oh,
it
the,
was
monster
the monster truck,
truck. Is true.
It's a super tank.
Although I think...
Oh.
Oh.
Tom Stabs pulled out true by accident.
Just... just to be clear, the super tank, which was actually Monster Truck,
the mega truck,
is true.
So I think maybe the reason that our Bristol audience didn't get that right tonight, there was a bit of confusion. To be fair,
mine definitely says lie.
Well, there we go.
Yep. High on chicken sponge and fluffing a quiz.
You know what?
It's time for the gripping climax of tonight's show. If you'd like to get in touch with the pod, it's thepartridgepod@gmail.com. Twitter is @thepartridgepod. Facebook.com/thepartridgepod. Instagram @monkeytennispod. All that remains is for us to say thanks so much to everybody in Bristol who's come down to the Wardrobe Theatre. Thank you from all of us at Monkey Tennis, and good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Hey.
Monkey Tennis?
Yabba dabba doo. Huh?
Sorry, I did Jimmy Savile there. Monkey Tennis?
This is Midmore Matt.
Let's do slap hands. Idiotic broth. Monkey Tennis?
Please though!
Monkey Tennis?
You need to press transfer.
I like it. It's a clean kill. Monkey Tennis?
We will do that, definitely, yeah.
Okay, does Mummy know you do this?
The time is 10:30.
What a Dilbert. Monkey Tennis?
I know it won't smash, Lynn. Just wrap it in bubble wrap.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.